John chapter 17. John, who was an eyewitness, of course, of the ministry of Jesus, one of the 12, was present that evening in the upper room and then at another location later where Jesus continued to instruct them on that night before his crucifixion. And then he prayed for them. And we read of that at the beginning of this chapter. These things spake Jesus, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that the Son may glorify thee. So the hour had come, of which he had spoken earlier, and of which the Apostle John had spoken in his narrative. And Jesus acknowledged that that hour had arrived, and he accepted that and was ready to continue with the mission that God had given him until he could say, it is finished. Though all of this prayer deserves our close attention, something that we should give it whenever we have the opportunity in our private study or in Bible classes, as Dan's class has done through their recent study of the Gospel of John, because of the limitations of time and the focused purpose we have in this study tonight, we're going to begin our consideration of this prayer in verse 6. Jesus says some things in this prayer about what he taught his disciples. He tells us about how they responded to that. He tells us some things about the spiritual character of these men, about the nature of their lives as his disciples, what they would experience in the future, of their responsibilities, and how they would serve the Lord and the influence that they would have in this world. And what we want to focus on in these words of Jesus, in which he's speaking about his relationship to these disciples, is the fact that Jesus here is talking about some convictions that we as disciples of Jesus will have as we also, like these men, listen to Christ and follow the guidance of the Word, the same Word that he gave them and that we receive through the New Testament. In this prayer that he prayed for them, we see that the disciples who are in sympathy with this prayer and who are in mind in this prayer will be people who have certain convictions. And I want to speak of three of convictions. Your list may be longer as you think about it, this prayer along that line, but I want to focus on only three tonight. One conviction that we as disciples of Jesus will have is that Jesus Christ is the one who has made known to us the Father with a revelation that is full and clear. And we have that knowledge of the Father only from him. And when I say only from him, I mean in his word that he spoke during his ministry or in the word that he gave to the apostles by the Holy Spirit. In other words, we have it only in the New Testament. This knowledge of the Father we cannot find through a study of the creation or our own human nature or a combination of the two. As Paul says in Romans chapter 1, there is some knowledge of God to which a person can arrive in the study of the creation. There's a logic involved in this. Where did this come from? Obviously, it comes from a power that's greater than the thing that is made. And thus, it tells us about the everlasting power and divinity. And this is a knowledge that is inherent in ourselves in that we can consider ourselves and our human nature and come to logically the same conclusion. But that's far from being the knowledge of the Father that Jesus is talking about in this prayer. This is something that he taught to his disciples by the word that he gave them and by his life. So in that, there was a demonstration that goes beyond the consideration of creation and human nature. This knowledge of the Father, we may learn in part from the Old Testament, but it is in and through Christ and him alone that this knowledge is presented to us in the fulfillment of what was foreshadowed, foretold in the Old Testament, and in the clarity of a perfect demonstration in the life of God's Son. That fulfillment and that demonstration was not given in Old Testament times. The coming of Jesus into the world made all the difference So it's only after him and in and through him that this revelation of the Father could be given. And so it was. Third, this knowledge of the Father is revealed knowledge. That's an important thing to consider. That's what Jesus is saying in this prayer. He said, I gave them these things. I taught them these things, in other words. And he made known these things to them. So it is a revealed knowledge of the Father. And therefore, it's not something a person is going to discover by searching his own thoughts and feelings. I'm well aware of the fact, and no doubt you are too, that there are teachers of various approaches to life that encourage people to find themselves and to find truth and to find the knowledge of life and even supernatural things by looking inside themselves. Whether they're going to find the empty basket there when it comes to this knowledge, because it's not there. It's revealed knowledge. And therefore, we have to be attentive to the one who reveals it in order to find it. This knowledge of the Father, we will not learn either by studying other religions, great or widely practiced religions in this world. But I'm aware of the fact that there are a lot of books, authors, and spokesmen who teach that. And in so doing, they blur distinctions. And they would have us go through the marketplace of the great religions of the world, pick up a little something here, a little something else there, and all the while lead us to the viewpoint that they espouse that this really is all one. It's all the same thing. When you get to the end of it, you find they're all talking about, no, they're not all talking about the same things. And they're not all talking about the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And to take that approach leads only to confusion and to misunderstanding. It is only through Christ, by the New Testament, that we have this truth about the knowledge of the Father. It's not going to be found through studying those religions or by studying man's philosophies, ancient or modern. So that's the first conviction that we see in this prayer. Notice how Jesus expressed it, verse 6, I manifested thy name unto the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. Manifesting his name, Jesus means, I made known to them, made clear to them who you are, your very identity, your person, and all that's involved in that, so that they don't just have a name, but they have what goes with the name. They have the person. They have the Father. And that's how Jesus is expressing that. And so it came through him, this revelation to his disciples. Now, second, there's another conviction that we arrive at through the study of this prayer as disciples of Jesus. In this prayer, Jesus Christ so speaks of his disciples, the ones who belong to him, who belong to the Father, and the Father gave to him these people. He so speaks of them and so speaks about the world that he implants in receptive minds a clear distinction between the two. The disciples are not the world, and the world is not all made up of his disciples. There's a very clear distinction. It's a contrast between the two that Jesus emphasizes in this prayer. And that has an effect upon the thinking of his disciples, upon how they live, and how they relate to the Father and the Son, and to the truth, and to the world. Belonging to the Father, and thus also to Christ, our lives are guided by God's word, and not by the thoughts and the ways of the world. Jesus said, I made known to them your name. They've kept your word. And then notice what he says a little later at verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for those whom thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all things that are mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no more in the world, and these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep them in thy name, which thou hast given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. It's petition to the Holy Father in their behalf. He's not praying for the world, but for his disciples, the ones that the Father has given to him. Now, this distinction between the Lord's people then has been made by the teaching he's given, which they've received, and the world is yet to receive. This distinction between the Lord's people and the world will be evident in prayers that are prayed for the Lord's people and for the world. We cannot pray for the world the same things that we pray for when we pray for those who belong to the Lord. That ought to be obvious to us. We are to pray for all men, said the Apostle Paul, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. With what in view? What is in view there, according to Paul in that passage, is that we have a God who would have all men to be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. So that ought to affect our prayers for the world, the desire that they would hear the gospel, have opportunity to hear it, and know of God's love for them, and desire then to respond to that. But when we pray for our fellow Christians, we pray for the church, we pray for our brothers and sisters, when we pray for those who belong to the Lord, there are other petitions that we can ask of the Father that we could not ask concerning the world. Though we live in the world, as Jesus brings out in this prayer, the Lord's people are to be different from the world, according to the influence and the authority of the Holy Father. And they are to be one. Notice his petition, that you keep them, Holy Father, in your name, and that they may be one. What happened then in the case of Judas, who is mentioned in verse 12, but not by name, is called there by Jesus, the son of perdition, the one who perished. What happened to Judas? Was he doomed to this by some predetermination of God? Scripture foretold it, obviously. Yes, because God could foresee this, know all things, and thus it was foretold that it would happen, and thus it was fulfilled because God had foreseen it. But God had foreseen the choice, the awful choice that this man would make in choosing to leave the Father and the Son and choosing the way of the world. He brought this disaster upon himself that placed him with the world and away from the disciples, as was literally evident in the Garden of Gethsemane. So we live in the world. We've chosen Christ and his teaching, the word of the Father. And what happened, says Jesus? His disciples incur the hostility and the opposition that he himself faced. Notice how he expressed that. I have given them thy word, and the world hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Verse 14. I pray not that thou shouldest take them from the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil one. While the evil one, the devil's influence, prevails in various ways and through various means in that which is the world in opposition to the way of God the Father and Christ the Son, in the lives of his disciples, something else prevails. And that is the name of the Father, the influence of God given through the word that Christ has taught us. So then there is this contrast that's brought out very strongly here between the two. And this is a conviction that we have as we hear it expressed by Jesus in this prayer. Jesus is talking about a reality here. And it's a reality of our relation to the world because of our relation to the Father and the Son that we must understand and accept. And it will affect not only our prayers, but our conduct. We do not belong to this world. We live in this world, but we no more belong to it than Jesus did, as he expressed in this prayer. Now, I said there were three convictions that we derive from hearing Jesus pray for us, because he prayed not only for those men, he prayed also for us in this prayer, as you see in verse 20. Neither for these only do I pray, but for them also that believe on me through their word. And that ought to be us, because we've come to believe on him through the word of these men as we have it in the New Testament. And if you're not in that number, we certainly desire that you be, hope that you want to be, and that you'll be responsive to the word of the Father and the Son and believe and obey and become a child of God, belong to him. But here's another conviction that we learned as the people he prayed for. Conviction that ought to be something cherished by us along with these others. He's been talking about certain benefits that his people have. These benefits are not found by the people in the world unless they come to the Father through the Son. These benefits are most valuable, most desirable, and we experience them as Jesus teaches in this prayer as we continue to hear and believe and receive and keep his word. Did you notice how he described those disciples in verses 6 through 8? He says of them that he taught them the name of the Father. He gave them the Father through the teaching of the Father. And he says, they've kept your word. That means to observe, to fulfill, to obey. They've kept your word. And then he says of them, in verse 8, that I have given to them the words you've gave to me, and they received them. They received those words. They knew of a truth that I came forth from thee. They believed thou didst send me. In the preceding verse, they know that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are from thee. It sounds to me like Jesus is saying that here are some people who paid attention to it. And they closely watched his life. And they thought about what he had to say. And thus it was that they were able to discern that here is a revelation of truth that we have never heard anywhere else. And here is a demonstration of that truth. And what is he saying about himself? What he says about himself, we see lived in his life, that he's from the Father and represents the Father. And the more they thought about this, and the more they followed him and served him and lived with him during those 3 years, they saw confirmation after confirmation of this truth. John is writing about that in this gospel book. And he's given us a selection of some of the signs that Jesus did, as he says in chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. And he says of Jesus that he did many others, which are not written in this book, but these are written for a purpose, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Now, he's referring to miracles that Jesus did and a selection of those miracles. Miracles were wonders, and they were demonstrations of supernatural power, but John speaks of them as signs. They pointed to truth. They taught truth. They illustrated truth, and they impressed the disciples with truth. Through these miracles, the Lord was giving instruction in a way that was powerfully and dramatically set before them through his word and his work. And we can read this in this gospel book. And so the reading of this book, or your study of this book with someone, should strengthen your faith and help that other person to come to faith in Jesus as the Son of the Father, or if it's a fellow Christian, to strengthen his faith. So this is the faith of the disciples that Jesus is talking about here, and he knows that about these men. And when they hear this prayer, they can have the appreciation of the fact that Jesus so knows them. Now, what does he know about you and me, about our faith, and our response to his word? Could he say the same things about us that he said about those men? That ought to be of some importance to us, to be able to answer that question in a way that would be encouragement to us. But what are some of the benefits that these disciples have and that we ought to have as people who have received this word from him and this influence of Christ? Well, there's the knowledge of the Father and his relationship to Jesus Christ, the relationship of Christ to the Father. Jesus refers to that several times in this prayer. Why is that important? Because that strengthens faith and informs faith, and it confirms us in the decision that we have made to put our faith in Jesus Christ and follow him through life and to death. Because we know the truth about who he is, and what he had to say, and the promises that he made, and the guidance that he's given us. This is faith that is based on the truth. It is not a leap into the dark somewhere, but we've been informed by this teaching. And our faith, our convictions is based on this. We put our trust in the Father and in the Son because of this teaching. And then another blessing that we have received as a result of the influence of Christ by His Word is that we have the understanding we belong to the Father and to the Son. Now, that's a benefit that's manifold. It brings with it many benefits, which we'll not take a time to try to list or discuss tonight. But with that would come many benefits. When you were growing up in the house of your father and mother, and you were loved by them and cared for by them, there was a sense in which you belonged to them. Not that you were their property. You were an individual made in God's image, just as they were. And you would have a life of opportunity and responsibility that would be your own. But for a while, you were in their care, and you knew where you belonged. And that felt good, didn't it? You knew their love and their care for you, and you knew there were many benefits that went with that as you were a child and a young person. I belong to them. And they love me, and they care for me, and I can trust them. And in time to come, even as you became an adult, that could be on occasions a good place to return, a place that is trusted and good and where so many benefits were known in growing up. Well, we as disciples of Jesus belong to Him, and we belong to the Father. You think about what that means concerning the sense of love and care and responsibility the Father and the Son have for our lives. And that undergirds petitions that Jesus makes in this prayer to the Father, because He knows the Father and the Father's love for these disciples. And thus He prays to the Father, "Keep them, Father. Even as I kept them and guard them, keep them, Holy Father, and make them one." May that be the result in their lives. They will be one, a people truly united as your children. And make known to them the glory that I had with you and the understanding of your love that you have for me. May that understanding be in them, as he goes on to pray. At one point in this prayer, Jesus speaks of these men to the Father, and he says of them, "I am glorified in them." You see that at the end of verse 10? What a privilege that is, that ought to encourage us in Christian living, that in being faithful to Christ, Christ looks upon our lives and he says to the Father, "I am glorified in them." Is that not a powerful motivation then to be true to him? Know that Christ will look upon our lives and say to the Father, "I am glorified in those people by their faith, their faithfulness, by their conduct, their service, their suffering, their sacrifice, their love for one another, and their hope." Another benefit that we see in this prayer, that Christ prayed for his disciples, just in the fact of that he prayed for those men, and he wanted them to know about that prayer. And we as Christians have the assurance that he's now in heaven in the presence of the Father, and he intercedes for all those who draw near to God through him. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. He speaks these things in the world, he says to the Father, in the presence of these disciples, that they may have my joy made full in themselves. Verse 13, very next verse, he says, in the world they're hated. But in their hearts, there's a fullness of joy, and that joy is the joy of Christ in a world that hated him. And so we hear of Paul in a confinement, unjustly and persecuted, telling his fellow Christians, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." No complaining, no bitterness, no self-pity, but so thankful to God and rejoicing in the Lord. Where does that come from? It comes through the influence of Christ, and we see it expressed by him in this prayer. And then the keeping of the word of the Father brings us to a place where we can have confidence that we remain in the keeping and the sanctifying work of the Father. For not only did Jesus pray that the Father would keep them, but that he would sanctify them. These people of his who are not really of the world, though they live in the world, that the Father would sanctify them through his word, and his word is truth. This is ongoing work of the Father in the lives of us as his people, if we continue to hear that word and to live by it, a keeping and sanctifying work. Now, these are great benefits. As I said, they involve other benefits, but these are clearly expressed in this prayer. All of these convictions, and we've mentioned only three tonight, these convictions strengthen our faith, they encourage us, they motivate us when they're carefully considered, when we know what Jesus was talking about, and we know the blessedness that is ours as his people in having these understandings from our Lord. But these words of Jesus also should be considered when we think about the Great Commission. Jesus said, I gave them your word, and they kept it. And then later there will be others who will believe on me through their word. The word they would speak would be the word they received from Christ. And then others would believe on that basis. And that's a place where you and I are found in this chain of communication and happiness and salvation. We're people who believe that word as it comes to us through the New Testament. And as we learn of the responsibility of these disciples, earliest ones, we know our responsibility too. We're not of the world, but we are in the world. Jesus didn't pray that we'd be taken out of the world, but that we'd be kept from the evil one. So while in this world, we have a responsibility to be what those people were, who were the disciples of Jesus, and to be the influence we ought to be on those who are around us. Well, that's a little study of some of this prayer that Jesus prayed that night. And it may have been somewhat presumptuous of me to offer this study, knowing that we have in the assembly here tonight some of Dan's scholars and know what kind of study they've done of this passage in great detail. But it's a passage that I thought would be of encouragement and comfort and strengthening to the faith of us who are the disciples of the Lord. And we're thankful that not only did Jesus pray for those men, but one of them, by the guidance of the Spirit, was given the responsibility to record that prayer, his remembrance being guided, so that you and I may read it and study it and profit from it. Wouldn't you like to have the confidence yourself that Jesus in heaven at the right hand of God knows you as one of his people? And that as you go to the Father and pray to him and live before him, that Jesus himself intercedes on your behalf, and that the Father in his love for you is one with the Son in desiring the very best for your life. A relationship with the Father and the Son is yours to have if you will be receptive to the gospel, to the word of the Father through the Son. That believing on the basis of that word, you will turn to God through Jesus Christ with a heart of repentance and faith and confess him before others and be baptized in his name for the forgiveness of your sins. A song of invitation is sung. Because of the love of these people for all and desire for their salvation and a love for you, and thus an encouragement to you to respond as we stand and sing.
And so I will you linger, wandering from the fold of God. Hear you not the invitation, oh, prepare. the invitation till your life on earth is o'er. Then you'll see your sad condition, unprepared to meet the God.
Thank you for being here with us, especially those of you that are visiting. Please come back and be with us at any and every opportunity that you have. Thank you, King, for both the lesson this morning and this evening. There are one or more present who have not had the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper. It's been prepared across the hall to my right. You may be dismissed this time, and someone will be there to assist you. Closing song tonight will be number 728. We'll sing the first verse of number 728, followed by our closing prayer.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all the healing stream, flows from
Let's pray together. Most kind and loving Heavenly Father, dear God, we're so very thankful for this day that we've had. And with this day, we've had the blessing to be able to gather together. We're thankful for that, dear God. We're thankful for the strength that it brings us. And as we live our lives, dear God, we're able to come together with one heart and one mind. We're able to sing these songs, to learn from your word, to pray together, study your scripture. And on the first day of the week, as commanded, we also take the Lord's Supper. Through all this we've done today, dear God, we ask we've done so with good hearts and good minds. We've also done so together. And that through this, dear God, we can be edified in our daily walk with you. Through this, we can be better equipped to go into the world each and every day to spread your gospel, to be shining lights to others who view us and view our lives. And dear God, we're so thankful for prayer that you give us, that we can come to you whenever we need. We can bring you our cares and concerns. And dear God, this we do pray for those who lost loved ones recently. And dear God, this past week, especially the family of Mr. Don Paul Hobson. We also pray for this entire congregation here, dear God. But with that prayer, while we do pray for those people, we also rejoice in the fact of knowing the truth of your gospel, knowing that we do have joy and hope in this life, and it all comes from you and your son. And that through your son, dear God, we can be forgiven of our sins. With that forgiveness, dear God, comes a hope of eternity with you in heaven. And for that, we are so very grateful. Of all things given to us in this life, dear God, thank you most of all for your son, for giving us that hope and that joy, and for sacrificing the cross. In his name we do pray. Amen.